Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
What's up, everybody? Yes, indeed, it is another edition of NASCAR Coast to Coast right here on the Motor Racing Network, where we dive into all things NASCAR regional and talk to the people that are up and coming on the ladder to NASCAR's National Series. My name is Chris Wilner here in Concord, North Carolina at MRN headquarters. And as always, my trusty sidekick, K-Rick, Kyle Ricky out there in Connecticut. Kyle, a quick trip to Vegas for us this past weekend. I lost some money, but I was doing it in good faith. I put 5 on red for you. It did not hit, so we were not lucky this weekend. But how was your weekend? Are you ready to go? You're going to Phoenix this weekend, my friend.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get out of the chilly, wet conditions up here in the Northeast and off to hopefully a warmer and drier climate in Phoenix, Arizona for a busy weekend of ARCA, Xfinity, and Cup Series racing. But you talk about drivers climbing up the ladder. How about that Victory Lane celebration you were involved in on Friday night with Rajah Caruth? Pretty cool moment, and a driver that we've had here on the show several times over his growth in the sport.
Yeah, 100%. A moment I know he won't forget. I won't forget. It was pretty special. Rajah, one of my favorite guys in the garage. And, you know, the historical factor aside, I think, and like he told me there on the front stretch, validation was kind of the word he used for that win in terms of his career. Because as somebody who's taken the not so popular path in terms of getting from really the beginning of his career until now, I mean, he was like William Byron, started as a sim racer. He hasn't even been in a race car that long, maybe 5-6 years total. So to kind of prove that that path still works and you can find a way, I think was a pretty motivational and inspirational story, and something that I know is going to fuel him the rest of his career. But to put a stamp on it that you're a NASCAR national winner is pretty cool. So congratulations again to Rajah on that win in the Truck Series out there in Vegas. We got a big show for you, of course, all things short track from this past weekend. Hickory had a great opening Twin 40s in their start of the season. The Smart Modified Tour kicked off their year with a quote-unquote upset, maybe, by somebody we didn't expect to win in the season opener. The Cars Tour Pro Late Models kicked off their season. Of course, the late model stocks keep going out at Southern National this weekend. Andrés Pérez, speaking of up-and-comers, he joins us on the show, ARCA National driver, and of course, also in NASCAR Mexico Series champion and full-time competitor, joins us on the show, plus K-Rick's driver of the week. So tons to get to. Let's start, Kyle, with the week that was. Smart Modified Tour, the Peanut Patch 99. Carson Lofton, the son of Brian Lofton, a 9-time tour winner, gets his first of the year here in 2024. I guess we can call it an upset. He's 15 years old and he's winning a modified race. That's pretty impressive.
I feel like if anybody wins, except for Matt Hirschman, it's an upset. And for Carson to pass Matt late in the race, and then, of course, Hirschman got tangled up with Burt Myers. Really good race, really good field. Strong start, I think, to the Smart Modified season. Of course, they're back in action this week. I'll tell you what, the one thing I took away that wasn't so great, I'm not a fan for short track racing of stage breaks or segmented races, especially for a 100-lap event. I mean, I feel like you just get rolling and 30, 35 laps into the race, they're slowing everybody and bringing them down to pit road. And, you know, I kind of lost a little bit of interest there for a bit, you know, just kind of breaks the race up. That's all. I mean, a great car count, good racing. I don't think anybody really got torn up, but I don't know about the stage breaks for a 100-lap event.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, if we're running 500 laps or something like that, it kind of makes sense, especially if you get a long green flag run. But you're right, 100 laps, I mean, you want to be on kill 100% and give these drivers an opportunity to get into some sort of a rhythm. And we kind of see this crossover with the NASCAR National Series, some of the rules like the choose, right? We see that dirt track racing with sprint cars now, with high limit racing and some other series. And we see that, all, of course, on the pavement side of things as well. So there are some things that work and are pretty cool to kind of transfer over. But you're right. Stage racing, maybe not a popular element to some of these races. But nevertheless, it was there. And nevertheless, Carson Lofton was able to figure it out and get the win. And of course, you mentioned Matt Hirschman, a rare spin for him after losing the lead. Burt Myers, he held them off there, the defending series champ. At the end, of course, in Ryan Newman. So we're off and running with Smart Tour, and good things coming this season. Ignore a lot of success or a lot of anticipation on this series as well coming into this year. Certainly lived up to hype in race number one. All right, how about the Cars Tour, the Z-Max Cars Pro late model season opener at Southern National? We talked to one of the competitors last week in Carson Quapel, but Kyle Campbell, another name that kind of came out of nowhere, nearly had his career over last year. I think wrecked in the second race of the season at Hickory, and it was a small family team, and they didn't think they're going to keep going. And here he is coming out of the gates in 2024, picks up his first pro late model win out there at Southern National with a family team. And he does so passing a couple good guys as well, Chris Wright and Caden Huddycutt, during a late restart. So Kyle, it's kind of been the week of the underdogs here in short track racing.
Yeah, he passed my pick a couple laps to go. Chris Wright from a week ago, I thought Chris had a really good shot, and he did, of picking up the race win. Again, a good field. I feel like this race is over in a couple of heartbeats. Not a lot of yellow. Well-run early afternoon event on Saturday. So congratulations to Kyle Campbell. I'll be honest with you, until I talked to you the other night, didn't know a whole lot about him, but apparently he does a lot in your neck of the woods at Millbridge.
He does. Yeah, Kyle flags at Millbridge for us on occasion and is one of Ashley Burnett and Jeremy Burnett's officials down there at Millbridge Speedway, and knew he did some racing. And again, last year was a little bit difficult for him. They had to shut down the season early because of all their troubles, I believe as early as July, maybe into August. So he was down there at Millbridge quite a bit, and he said, I'm going to come back and continue to race more. I said, oh, okay, you know, not really thinking anything of it. And then I go turn on Flow Racing, and here he is winning a Cars Pro late model race. So Kyle can do it all. So congratulations to Kyle. I texted him the other night and said, we'll have to get you on the show. So he was pretty stoked about that. Jimmy Renfrew finished second. So good finish for Jimmy. Caden Huddycutt, as you guys mentioned, in third. Tristan McKee, Caden Quapel, your defending champion of the series, rounded out the top five. Of course, they resume at Hickory. Kyle, kind of interesting, though, that we split the Cars Tour. We had 1 week with the Pro Lates. Now we have the late model stocks coming up this weekend, still at Southern National. Do you like kind of the split, or do you like the joint weekend? I kind of like the joint weekend.
I like the joint weekend, but I understand what they're trying to do at Southern National. We talked to Kip Childress late last year, once he became ingrained in the Cars Tour from his longtime position on the NASCAR tours. And, they're trying to make like a mini speed week at Southern National to start the season. I know they have some media days and some test days during this week between the events. So, it's cool to show up at a racetrack down south when both tours are there, you know, a full infield or full pit area of haulers, and you know you're going to have a full night of racing, two events, usually 100 and 125 lapper. I think to start the season, yeah, try it, you know, and see if it works, and see if you know, the media days and the test days, you know, accomplish what they hope that they will accomplish here this week.
Yeah, and Carson Quapel talked about that last week, about just the energy behind the series. Of course, we talked about last year with the new ownership group, with Dale Jr. and Jeff Burton and Justin Marks and Kevin Harvick. And then you add the sponsorships, you add the West Coast swing for a kind of a Cars Tour presence out on the West Coast, their own little schedule. So to add media days just seems fitting, right? And kind of making it a bigger deal. And I like it. So we'll see. We'll see kind of what the response is after this week. But of course, the late model stocks get it in action this weekend. We'll talk about that in segment number three. Last bit of news in terms of what's happened last week was Hickory Motor Speedway. Of course, the place where NASCAR stars are born down here in the Carolinas, one of the famous short tracks down here, just about 2 hours or so, an hour and a half from Charlotte. Landon S. Huffman and Connor Hall, your former NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Weekly National Champion, duking it out. They both split the Twin Bill 40s last weekend. Kyle, but there was a thriller. I believe this is the second one, if I'm not mistaken, maybe the first one, that Landon S. Huffman put the moves on Connor Hall, and that's not easy to do when you're going up against a national champion.
It's not, you know, and again, same names at the front of the field at Hickory to open the season. Decent field of cars. I was hoping for a few more late models, but again, a quick and efficient program. Great racing, like you mentioned, a thriller in race number two with Connor Hall picking up the race win. Landon S. Huffman, not to be confused with Landon Huffman, in race number one. Hopefully, the crowd... Hopefully they get some more people once they get into the regular Saturday night program. But overall, a seemed like a successful opening night there at the Hickory Motor Speedway, which you can also watch every week on Flow.
That's right. Back in action again this week as they continue the regular season. I'm sure we'll see Landon Huffman, as you were talking about, former track champion out there, I'm sure, during the year. But he's busy this year tackling some modified races in addition to the Cars Late Model Stock Tour as well. So going for some big money races. So I'm sure we'll visit with him as well. Well, that was a lot going on this past weekend. There's a lot going on this weekend, including ARCA Menard Series and the ARCA West season opener, that combo event that Kyle will be covering with the Motor Racing Network out at Phoenix. We're going to talk to one of the drivers coming up next as we hit this quick timeout on Coast to Coast, and that is Andrés Pérez. Finished second in the championship last year and has a lot of momentum coming into this 2024 season. We'll break it all down with Andrés Pérez coming up next here on Coast to Coast on the Motor Racing Network.
For three decades, Racing Electronics has been the number one choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit RacingElectronics.com today. Be race ready, be RE equipped.
The week is the driver of the number two Rev Racing Chevrolet in the ARCA Menard Series. That is Andrés Pérez. Andrés, welcome to the show, my friend. We've talked a lot about you over the course of the last season or two, especially with your big second place finish in the championship a year ago to Jesse Love. How are things looking here in 2024?
Hello. Thank you very much for having me here. Super excited about coming back to Phoenix. Last year was good, but we're ready to go even better. So that's the plan.
Last year was good. Second in points, as Chris mentioned a moment ago, a bunch of finishes, second, top five finish, actually. What were some of the big takeaways from last year? What are some of those things that you learned that you can apply to running for the title here in 2024?
Yeah, I think the main thing is just experience and track time. Because from where I'm from, Mexico, We race NASCAR Mexico, but it's still very different. There's a lot of stuff that changes aero, like the big track especially. So just the track time I can get in the ARCA car is good for me. It helps me understand a lot of here. And also the culture and the language and all the stuff that's different. That's the main thing. I really feel like I know, I really feel at home in Rev also with all my guys working there for a second year. So yeah, that's going to be a big thing. Like you said, I think we're ready to be fighting up front here. We were so close last year to winning. There were a couple of races that we definitely deserved and got bad luck or something like that. So yeah, we're ready to fight up front and we've been working hard all season. So it should be really good. And we're ready for that.
As Cal mentioned, 10 top fives last year in your second place in the championship, 12th at Daytona in the season opener. Do you feel like you're on the cusp to that win? We talk every week, every time we preview one of the ARCA races, said, watch Andrés, I think this is going to be the week. And then it's another top five finish. So was it almost getting frustrated? Or do you think you guys are there to finally get that elusive win?
I know. To be honest, it was definitely frustrating, especially because the better races that we had don't even show on the top fives and everything. Because like Michigan, we're leading while having a blown engine on the last 5-10 laps. Then Pocono, we were also the fastest car out there and got pushed on the restart. Mid Ohio got stuck in the gear shift, and that's just examples of like bad luck that happened in the very specific moments where we could have had that win. And apart from that, just we just still gaining experience. But there were tracks where we were up there, we were fighting for the lead, and just circumstances didn't let us get that win. Also Talladega, and now Daytona, running second on the last lap and getting that crash. So just things preventing us for that win. But like, I know that if I'm in that position every week, like we have been, eventually it's going to come. Obviously, it has been a little bit frustrating, but I'm patient for that, and I know it's going to come soon. So yeah.
What were the emotions in Daytona like? Thinking you're going to race on Saturday, but knowing it's going to rain, and then suddenly you show up, and it's like, we're taking a green flag tonight at like 11:30 for a race that'll probably end closer to 1 o'clock in the morning. What's that like, with all the different schedule changes that occurred in a relatively short amount of time?
I know that was a lot going on at the same time. We were not expecting that for sure. But then when it was time to go racing, I was ready. We had a really fast car. We put ourselves in position, which is the important thing. We were up there in the top five, top three, with my spotter, my team, everybody did a great job. And yeah, we were ready for everything that we were already planning, what the moves we were going to make. We just got bad luck and got clipped by it just by a little bit and got involved in the wreck, which wasn't obviously good, but yeah, we showed speed again. We were fighting for the lead again and just couldn't concrete. So it's obviously, not what we wanted to start the season with, but the motivation is still there. We know when we go to Phoenix, we're going to have fast cars and yeah, we're going to be able to fight up front like we did last year and even better, for sure.
Off and rolling here in 2024. I think one of the cool underlying storylines so far this year has been the success of the drivers that have taken part in NASCAR's Drive for Diversity program. I know you're part of that as well. How cool is it to see the success of fellow countryman Daniel Suarez? We had Raja Carruth win out at Las Vegas in the Truck Series and Kyle Larson and his success. I mean, how critical has that program been for you in terms of your development and your kind of growth in the sport?
No, it's great to see that. And I only think that I'm up next. I need to get the win too. But yeah, to see the success from not only it's been in the Truck Series and in the Cup Series, I think it's 4 out of the 9 or something like that. So yeah, really proud of being part of Rev Racing. I know I'm in a very good spot after seeing that. I feel very good at the place I am. They obviously have helped a lot in my development, putting me in that ARCA car for a year now. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the shop that helps me too. Cause there's like I said, there's so much thing that changes when I come here to the US and try to run here. Like I said, the language is one thing. I'm getting better at it, but also the time that I take with my crew chief and the guys in the shop, to learn, to see what's up, to see what's going on and to see the differences, it helps me a lot. So yeah, I'm really proud of the spot where I'm at, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get that win this year. We're going to have speed. We've been working hard on the cars too. And so yeah, hopefully I add my name to that list of D4D winners.
We, years ago, would have Daniel Suarez on the show on a regular basis when he was running the NASCAR Mexico Series and what was the old K&N Pro Series East and doing both divisions in the same year. And we would ask him, what's the biggest challenge? He also said the language, and that he was trying to get better by reading books out loud. And obviously this paid off because he's one of the best interviews out there now. How are you adapting to, the English language and trying to better yourself in that front?
Yeah. I'm also doing the Mexico Series and the ARCA Series again. So this is going to be, I'd say my biggest challenge is the travel. Because I'm going to miss 2 races over there. So we're going to need to get that win on the first couple of rounds so we can get into the playoffs, because that's going to be hard. But I wouldn't say the language is that hard for me. I've been getting way better. And yep. Maybe the first couple of times I came here, the first races, it was a little bit tough. But like Daniel, I know that I have to put the work on that, like talking, just talking with the guys here from here, reading, watching movies. Yeah, sold me. And I think right now, at the very moment, that I don't think it's an issue anymore. I think my English is all right. So yeah, I would say my biggest challenge on racing the 2 series is organizing the travel. I've missed some tests in Mexico. So yeah, not the fact of having full focus on one, which I'm giving kind of a little bit more priority to ARCA, because the races that are together, I'm going to do ARCA stuff. But still, I miss a little bit. I could be more involved in NASCAR Mexico, which I can't because of the ARCA Series. So
this season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
That's my biggest challenge, I say.
Yeah, it's a lot to balance for sure. And of course, you were champion of NASCAR Mexico in 2022. So doing it again in 2024, you guys got to start the season in a really cool way, running at the Clash at the LA Memorial Coliseum. How special was that, not only for you, but for the series? And since then, getting to run on that weekend, I know it was a weird weekend with the weather and having to run after the Cup Series, the Clash out there in LA, but takeaways from that weekend, how special was it for you, for the organization, for the series, and maybe some of your fellow competitors? Are they still talking about it, how cool that was?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was huge for NASCAR Mexico to show what we're doing there, kind of like an all-star stuff, bring the guys from last year that were good. And yeah, obviously it wasn't ideal with the weather, but at the end of the day, I think we put a great show. On my side, I think we were good. We just missed a little bit there at the very end because we were fighting for the top three and everything, but couldn't keep up. There's a lot of stuff that changes from Mexico to US and got spun. You know, it was an ideal at the very end, but at the end of the day, we showed very good speed and also very good racing as a organization, as a NASCAR Mexico. And another thing to add is being this Technica Alliance teammate with Daniel. We raced as teammates in Escudería Telmex. So to work with him too, to see what was, he obviously won the race. So yeah, a lot of stuff that I could learn from him and like get closer, like talk more to him, ask him more questions about what's going on here in the US and everything like that. So I think it was a very successful weekend and we're ready to go back if it's wherever it is to come back to the US. I think everybody from Mexico City, from Mexico NASCAR will be open to that.
My final question for you kind of revolves around that topic. I mean, we've seen the NASCAR Mexico series a couple of different times here in America. They raced at the Phoenix Raceway a few years ago, the Coliseum, of course, this year. Where would you like to see the American Stock Car Series go down in Mexico? Is there a venue that's capable of hosting maybe Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez again, like we did with the old NASCAR Xfinity Series years ago?
Oh, yeah. I think if NASCAR goes to Mexico City, it'll be so good for the sport in general, not only here, but also in Mexico. I think there's a lot of fandom over there. There's a lot of guys that would go into the race. And that's a very good track. I've raced there before. And yeah, I think the track obviously is capable of having NASCAR and just the fact of people getting a lot of Mexicans interested in it. I think it'll be great. Hopefully it's possible and hopefully I can raise that. I'll be thinking on that and yeah, that'd be super cool. But yeah, I think that's the place to go, Mexico City. But there's also really good other places that maybe I haven't run, but are also capable enough of hosting a NASCAR Cup race. Or Xfinity or Sharks.
Well, the sky's the limit. I mean, we've seen it with NASCAR and doing Chicago Street Race and things like that. There's so many options on the table. So who knows? Maybe that will come to fruition here in the coming years. But before we let you go, Yeah, no, 100%. Let's talk about your expectations, though, for this year. Obviously, it's going to be win races no matter what you're driving in and win championships. But maybe a little bit farther down the road, do you see yourself maybe getting a Truck Series opportunity or something like that in the future? Is that something you want to do, at least look at sometime this year?
Yes, for sure. Like I told you, I think right now my focus is on getting that first win and be up front and fighting for the championship in ARCA. Same as Mexico, we already got wins there, but we want to keep being a championship contender, even though we're not going to race two races. So yeah, I think on that side and also on the other side, I think hopefully we can get this truck stuff sorted out for this year. I think there's a big chance I start getting some experience in that side. And yeah, obviously it's going to be a huge opportunity for me and to be able to make it count, work hard. And yeah, I think whatever is it that I get, just take advantage of it, make it useful and start seeing what's going to be the plan for 2024, 2025 too.
Well, you're a part of a great team with Rev Racing. Of course, their alliance with Spire, so I'm sure those opportunities are there for sure. Quickly, who do you think you're going to have to battle with to take the checkered flag this weekend at Phoenix? Because I saw on the entry list, 43 cars are going to go for the starting spots, and there's a ton of big names. So who do you foresee is kind of the biggest competition this weekend?
Yeah, a lot of cars. I think we're definitely going to be over there. We're going to be one of the guys too. Everybody's going to hopefully fight for the lead. I think my teammate is also going to be fast. I'm really confident that Rev is going to take two very fast cars this weekend, and just probably the race winner from last year's. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be a good competition. But we want to be me and my teammate. Hopefully, we're the ones to beat.
It'll be fun to watch for sure. Friday night out there at Phoenix. Kyle Ricci will be out there, so make sure you go say hi to Kyle. I'm sure he'll be down on the grid before the race. Well, Andres, appreciate it, man. Best of luck to you. So far, so good this season, and hopefully we'll catch up to you here after that first win finally happens. Who knows? It could be next week.
Hopefully. Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Andres Perez driving the number 2 Rev Racing Chevrolet going out to Phoenix this weekend. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the calendar and what's going on this week in NASCAR regional action here on NASCAR Coast to Coast on the Motor Racing Network.
For 3 decades, Racing Electronics has been the number 1 choice for scanners, headsets, and all race day communications needs. Racing Electronics provides the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate NASCAR fan. Hear uncensored communication from every team in the race with a scanner from Racing Electronics, or tune into the MRN radio broadcast. To learn more, visit racingelectronics.com today. Be race ready, be RE equipped.
Coast to Coast here on the Motor Racing Network. Awesome conversation with Andres Perez. The star is bright for that young man, and I know it's just gonna, his stock is gonna keep going up more and more, and maybe this weekend will be the win, Kyle. We talked about it there in that interview. It's been a whole season of going winless, the big goose egg, although all those top 5 finishes. Phoenix has been good to him, so I think maybe he gets it done. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good field at the Phoenix Raceway this weekend, but I think he has the most experience and probably the most confidence after the year he had a year ago. Couldn't get past Jesse Love, but I don't think many people could, winning half of the events in 2023. So we'll see what this year has in store for Andres. I remember when he first came onto the scene a few years ago at the Bristol Motor Speedway. He went from the back to the front in the first half of that ARCA race. It's like, who is this kid? And we've got to know him well here over the last year and a half or so.
Certainly have. Best of luck to Andres, and appreciate him for joining us on the show. Some news over the weekend. Bubba Pollard actually has this show dropped last week, made the announcement that he too is going Xfinity Racing for Junior Motorsports. So we've got not one, but 2 short track aces taking the next step. Of course, he's going to run that Xfinity car number 88 at Richmond Raceway coming up at the end of the month, March 30th, during NASCAR weekend. I mean, talk about a guy who is more than deserving and more overdue for a shot at the big time. Over 100 super late model wins. He's basically won what every big racer is, between Slinger, All-American 400, Oxford 250, you name it, he's done it. And a guy that many have tapped. I mean, he was even a part of SRX there last year, 2 years ago. But to get an Xfinity ride, Kyle, again, proves that there is a window for short track racers, especially with Junior Motorsports, to get an opportunity at the next level.
Yeah, and I feel like this is kind of Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s mission with at least one of his cars at Junior Motorsports, and that's to take a grassroots winner or national champion like we saw with Josh Berry a few years ago and be able to groom them and develop them on NASCAR's National Series. And, you know, it has obviously paid off for guys like a Josh Berry, who is now racing full-time on Sunday. Bubba Pollard, long overdue. I know there's fans across the country that have been rooting for him to move up and into top levels of the sport. And here's this opportunity coming up in just a couple of weeks at the Richmond Raceway.
And he's going to get some practice too, because he's also entered on the ARCA East season opener at Five Flags. So he's going to get some stock car experience even before we get to Richmond Raceway. So be curious to see the translation that has. Hopefully we'll get to talk to Bubba here coming up in a few weeks. We do have some sad news, though, that dropped in the short track racing world over the weekend. The Arcadia, North Carolina driver Zach Brewer, a longtime tour-type modified competitor that's been in Smart Tour since 2001, moonlighting some as well as some other big races, unfortunately, he's passed away at the age of 44. multi-time winner in modifieds, got a big Bowman Gray win back in 2022. I know it was a big fan favorite out there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, a 3x Goody Dash winner, a guy that's been synonymous with short track racing and tour type modified racing for over the years. Unfortunately, he's passed away. So, Zach, I know across social media this week, there's been an outpouring of support and sympathy and love for his family, his children. So we like to send our sympathies as well and our condolences here at the Motor Racing Network. So sad to see one go, Kyle. I remember that Bowman Gray win last year. We talked about it on the show. I think everybody at Bowman Gray was on their feet when he took the checkered flag, and pretty cool to see, because typically when they're on their feet, it's usually either to celebrate or to fight somebody, because we know what happens at the madhouse. But to see everybody in unison cheer for Zach, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he became a favorite in Southern Modified Racing across the board over the last decade, especially at Bowman Gray Stadium. Started his career, 20 years ago now in the old Goody's Dash series down south before he made the move to Modified Racing. And it took a while for him to find success, first on the NASCAR Wheel and Southern Modified Tour before that went away in, I believe, 2016, 2017, and has run, obviously, Smart Modified Races and Bowman Gray on Saturday nights in recent years. And, yeah, he will no doubt will be missed. Some shocking news, no doubt, over the weekend following the season opener at this past weekend for the Smart Tour. That news came down on Sunday. So, yeah, big hit for the Southern Modified Racing community.
Certainly is. Our condolences again to Zach Brewer's family as we look forward, Kyle, to this week. Of course, we talked about it a little bit at the top of the show, and with Andres, you're going to be headed out to Phoenix Raceway with the Motor Racing Network. Busy NASCAR weekend, but it kicks off Friday. ARCA Menard Series race number 2 of the year, ARCA West season opener, the 71st season for ARCA West competition in that combo event out at Phoenix, the General Tire 150, 43 cars, Kyle, are entered, and there are so many big names I can't even begin to count. We'll talk about a lot of them here, but what do you expect as we drop the rag on the ARCA West season?
Your guess is as good as mine. I like the experience with Grant Infinger coming back to the series for the first time in a number of years. Well, maybe I think he usually runs about one race, maybe two a year, so it'll be fun to see him at the Phoenix Raceway on Friday night. Tyler Reif, the defending winner at Phoenix a year ago, has another full year of experience under his belt. He'll be tough. You have guys like Greg Van Alst and Marco Andretti, Chris Wright, who's going to be running for the championship in the ARCA series. Four ladies in the field in Toni Breidinger, Amber Balkan, Isabella Robusto, going to be making her series debut. Danica Dart, who has done a lot of racing out on the West Coast. She'll be at the Phoenix Raceway on Friday. A lot of storylines. Should be a fun race. I hope it's not like, I believe it was last year or 2 years ago, where we had like 10 cautions by halfway. Hopefully it's not like that, but with 43 cars trying to make the field and a lot of inexperience, you never know what could happen, but looking forward to it. It's going to be a great way to kick off the race weekend out there.
Yeah, one of those drivers that was caught up in one of those bajillion incidents last spring was William Sawalich, who is last November's winner at Phoenix and then had an opportunity to win back in March of last year, and unfortunately was caught up in an incident. He's back behind the wheel, is considered one of the favorites, not full-time on the ARCA Menard Series schedule yet, but at the same time running a lot of these short track and other national series races, so certainly don't count him out. You mentioned Tyler Reif, last year's winner, new ride this year, running for Todd Souza. Yep. He'll be one to watch. You mentioned Marco Andretti and Greg Van Alst. Obviously, Andres Perez, you can't overlook him, a top five finisher last year. Connor Mosack will be, I think, in one of the JGR entries as well, so one of those drivers to keep an eye on. And I'd be curious, though, Kyle, Isabella Robusto. Interesting season last year. One of the up-and-coming females in our sport. Toyota TRD development driver. Has an incredible accident in the late model last year. Sidelined her for several weeks due to concussion-like symptoms. Now gets a shot at the big time. I'm curious, you know, just kind of that jump from a late model to an ARCA Menard Series car to run at Phoenix, what that's going to be like. But there's a lot of competition. I think these ladies also have competition within themselves, because, like, with Toni Breidinger also being a part of that group as well, and we've seen Amber Balkan, I think it could shape up to be almost a race within the race between these ladies here this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. And Isabella's coming off a pretty decent week at New Smyrna Speedway running the pro late model. I remember one night she was black flagged for jumping the restart, had to restart like 26th and was able to make her way up through the field. And I think she finished in the top five that night. She was also caught up in an incident late in the week. So a lot of highs and lows all ready to start her season. But I think she'll be pretty strong on Friday night.
And don't forget, well, amongst all these favorites and big names we're talking about, there is still the defending West champion, Sean Hingorani, also in the field as well. So you're going to have to go through him to get to the checkered flag. And he didn't win the race back in November when he won the title. I know he was pretty upset about that, but had a fantastic ARCA West season a year ago, pretty dominant. So we'll see what happens. And by the way, Brad Perez, big fan favorite, NASCAR crew member and journeyman, getting an opportunity in the ARCA series as well. So good to see Brad in the field. So 43 trying to get those starting spots this week. And of course, that race you can hear right here on the Motor Racing Network Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time, to kick off a triple header out there in Phoenix. Also on the docket this weekend, Smart Tour. We talked about it a little bit, Kyle. Big peanut patch 99 this past weekend. They get the Warrior 100 at Caraway. Can Carson Lofton repeat? Was this a fluke, Kyle? What do you think? Should be another stacked field this weekend.
I don't think it was a fluke, but at the same time, how long can you hold off Matt Hirschman for? Can Matt not win 2 weeks in a row? It's rare. One week in a row is rare. So we'll see. I expect Matt to be strong, along with Carson, along with Burt Myers, who was in the mix a week ago as well. Ryan Newman, pretty good at Caraway. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
See if Joey Coulter, Luke Baldwin, some of those other drivers are back entered again. That is this week, and you can watch it live on Flow Racing on Sunday, the Warrior 100. That's about it on my docket, Kyle. One order of business to take care of is our K-Rick Driver of the Week, a segment that Kyle highlights one of our NASCAR regional drivers. Who do you got for us this week? Who's your Driver of the Week from this past week as we get into March?
Yeah, I got to go with Carson Lofton. I mean, very rarely does anybody pass Matt Hirschman one, especially for the race lead. So, Carson, just 15 years old. Some call it an upset. I don't think so. The way we have watched him develop in the last year or so, racing modifieds and on some of these, for him, bigger racetracks, coming from the karting world. So I'm going with Brian Lofton's son, Carson Lofton, race winner last week. We'll see if he can get it done this week. No doubt a name to watch for, and as far as potential championship threat here as the Smart Modified season rolls on.
All right, no pressure, Carson. Kyle Ricci picked you as his Driver of the Week, so you got to back it up. You got to win it, win another one this weekend out there at Caraway. Thank you so much, Kyle. Awesome Driver of the Week. All right, before we get closing here on this week's episode of NASCAR Coast to Coast, a due reminder, programming note. Of course, we talked about it just a minute ago. MRN is your home for all things NASCAR this weekend out in the desert at Phoenix Raceway. Crew is out there getting ready to go, and Kyle Ricci will be joining them as well. Don't forget, Friday we'll have Cup Series practice for you, 5 p.m. Eastern time, and then, of course, the ARCA Menard Series and ARCA West General Tire 150, 8 p.m. Friday night, and then Saturday, Cup qualifying, 2 p.m. Eastern. Then it's the call811.com every time, every dig, every time 200. I'm going to bet a few dollars here how many times Jeff and Alex have to stumble through that one, because that is a heck of a race title. 4 p.m. Eastern, that's the NASCAR Xfinity Series on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday, NASCAR Live Race Day, 1:30 Eastern, leading you in to the Shriner Children's 500. Kyle, enjoy your time in the desert. Don't get pricked by a cactus. Please don't.
Can't wait to get out there. I will try my best. If it happens, it'll happen on our yearly adventure up to Rattlesnake Hill off of turn number 2 now. So we'll see, but it's going to be a good weekend.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. MRN, again, your home, all things NASCAR this weekend. Of course, Flow Racing, your home for short track racing. For Kyle Ricci, my name is Chris Wilner, and our producer, Pat Jaggers. We will see you next time. NASCAR Coast to Coast rolling on here in 2024.
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy and four tires to Sunoco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.